opens the description of soul's entanglement by identifying himself as the origin of all living entities. It is Krishna who impregnates the total material substance, Brahman, with the living beings and makes possible the birth of all species of life. Thus he is the seed-giving father. Because whatever generally one considers one's origin, that's what one becomes attached to. Like that. So the first thing to be established is Krishna is the source of the living entities. Right? So then there's that natural element that then living entities are going to start looking in a different way. See, because the problem is not the principle of attachment. The problem is illusion. Right? Because the soul, being Prakriti, has to be attached. It's just its nature. But the problem is the attachment is not to Krishna. It's not a transcendental attachment. Right? It's not a transcendental situation. So if the soul is not transcendentally situated, then the soul actually can't be very satisfied. Right? It's obvious, right? So, like that. You know, we have to understand, people being happy in the world in general, that's advertisement, that's marketing. In reality, then everybody's miserable. Right? You know, they get their moments, but still, you know, we're talking moments, not even minutes or hours. Right? When the living entity comes into contact with the material nature, he becomes conditioned by the three modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance. Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport, "The living entity, because he is transcendental, has nothing to do with this material nature. Still, because he has become conditioned by the material world, he is acting under the spell of the three modes of material nature. Because living entities have different kinds of bodies, in terms of the different aspects of nature, they are induced to act according to that nature. This is the cause of the varieties of happiness and distress." You have to remember, this is a reflection. Right? So the reflection only moves according to the original nature, right? And but at the same time is because we are thinking, how you said? Okay. You do some movement in a mirror, okay? What's the actual cause of the movement? The mirror?
No,
us, right? But at the same time is, there is some mechanics how the mirror works. Though its function is only reflecting what's originally there. You understand? So, the modes of nature are simply reflecting, right, the internal potency. So the internal potency is the Samvit Sandini Hladini potencies. Right? And so, that's what's reflected here. But when it's reflected here, then we call it goodness, passion, and ignorance. Right? Does that make sense? Yes.
So we can cultivate these modes within ourselves, or tune into them, or, I mean, develop mode of goodness.
But what do you mean by cultivate? What's the purpose?
I mean, animals can't. They are, a cow is in the mode of goodness.
Oh, you mean cultivate what mode you'll be
in?
Yeah. Yes, yes. That's the idea. Is he becomes in contact, then he becomes conditioned. So according to his desire, because the living entity, the human has free will.
Yeah.
So he could desire something that's actually not necessarily as prominent or the specific prominence in his, you know, combination of the modes at present. So it'll start to adjust it slowly. But generally you'll see it'll be a very slow change. It's not going to be a quick change. Like that, you know. So, you know, the guy goes from golf to skiing. Right? That makes sense. He doesn't go from golf to, you know, extreme, you know, cycle riding, you know, and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? It'll be a slow change. Is that, so then, yeah. So this reflection then is simply the mechanics of how it's carried out, right? Sandini is the existence potency, right? Here then, mode of ignorance is the existence potency. Because one is in the material world because of ignorance. If you're not in ignorance, you're not in the material world, Right? You may be situated in the inferior Brahman, but it's not material to you. Because material means not connected to the Lord. Right? And it means action happens. But here the original is carried out by the chit potency. But here it's carried out by the mode of passion. Right? The reflection is the mode of passion. Right? Does that make sense? Vladini will be the pleasure potency. Right? So here, then, mode of goodness will generate. Does that make sense? So that's the point, is that they're only existing because they're reflections of the original. But we take them as substance, so therefore we invest our consciousness in them. So we become conditioned by them. So if we change our vision to see everything in connection to Krishna, then we're dealing with the Sandini, Sambit, and Ladini potencies. You understand?
So they're both existing here. It's a question of which one is tuned to. If I tune to the reflection or to the actual...
Yes, means it's just like when we're dealing with the original cause and the formal cause. So it's Krishna, it's Kuala, Krishna and his potency. So what energy are we dealing with here? You know, the internal or external? Sure?
No, internal.
Internal, right? Okay, now when we deal with the operative cause and the material cause, then we're dealing with the external potency. That's where it's manifest, you can see it. So in between those two, that's where the reflection is. Does that make sense?
Between them?
Between, in the you have the original cause and the formal cause, right? And that's internal potency. And then the operative cause and the material cause, that's dealing in your external potency. So between those two, that's where the reflection is happening. Does that make sense? You have the tree on the bank and you have the tree in the water. So that point where the bank meets the water and the water meets the bank, that's the point between the two.
Okay.
Right? So that's where the reflection starts. You understand? So reflection starts there. So the quality is there, the potency, the internal potency is there. Those are reflected to the material world. Right? So you're still hankering for that quality, but you think it's the material energy that you're hankering for. And you therefore take the forms and activities of the formal cause, but, you know, it's in the material energy. So you think it's the material energy that's actually doing the work. Does that make sense?
So when you connect to Krishna,
You're actually dealing with the internal potency, though the material energy is carried out by the modes, but because you're seeing the original, you're getting the benefit of the original. You're not being entangled by the...
Okay. We're dealing with the modes, but we're not getting entangled because...
It's like you're taking the flower and offering it to Krishna. So what's the flower made out of? Internal potency or external? But you're using it according to the original internal potency. So what effect is there? Do you get entangled by the material modes or do you get freed? Yes, because you're working under the internal potency. So in other words, you have these two going at once. This is Tathasta Shakti. Right? This is why it's confusing, because material world is only material. You don't see anything else. Spiritual world is only spiritual. Tathasta means you can see both at once. You understand? So you've made this choice to come this side, so you have to, by seeing both, you have to see both to make the choice to go to the other side. You understand? So the two of them are there, so you're going to have the actual working, but it's going to be happening in the mirror, right? Like, the mirror is, you know, glass, which is made out of, you know, silica and all that, and there's some back reflective thing of the silver and all these things and the light particles and all that mechanically makes the mirror work. But is that what makes your arm work? No. And does the arm actually have anything to do with all that silica and all that? No. But So the one works on its mechanics, the other one works on that. But the one is the reflection of the mechanics of the original. You understand?
Yeah.
So what's happening is then the living entity has nothing to do with the material energy because he identifies with it, therefore he's caught up in it. But if one understands that one doesn't have to work under the material energy, one may be working with the external energy, but you're working under the internal potency. Does that make sense? See, you have the situation you're in, and then there's what you do with it, right? Right? You have the kitchen, and then there's what you do with it, right? So the two aren't necessarily connected, right? So, I mean, how you say, there is a connection, but it's not that the one necessarily governs what you'll do with it. You're in a nice kitchen, right? And you may do something not nice in it, right? And so, yes, you know, you can cook for Krishna or not, right? And let's say we have an inferior kitchen. It also doesn't define whether you'll cook for Krishna or not. Right? So, therefore, situated in the Tathasta, we can see the two of them. Right? So, you could be working with the spiritual energy or with the material energy, depending upon the consciousness. Right? So, the devotee may be situated in the material world, but his consciousness is situated in the spiritual world, so he gets that effect. Right? Though you're dealing with an inferior energy, so it's a bit of an annoyance, but you know what I'm saying? Or you could be, this is, so that part we all basically buy. Right? So basically, three out of four options we buy easily. In the spiritual world, doing spiritual activities. In the material world, doing material activities. In the material world, doing spiritual activities. The one we don't buy is in the spiritual world, doing material activities. That we say can't happen. But then if we do that, that means we're deifying the spiritual. Why can't it? It's a reflection of it. You know what I'm saying? Is Aristasura in the spiritual world? Yeah. By situation, yes. But by consciousness, where is he? In the material world. So this is the point. So it's your consciousness, how you deal with it, it situates you either on the transcendental platform or not. Does that make sense? So this is the point, is the living entity has nothing to do with the material world. That doesn't mean you don't interact with it. But they'll say, no, but we have to be practical. We're interacting with the material world. Of course we're interacting with the material world. What else are you going to work with? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? If you're in Joe's Diner, you know, the pots are Joe's pots. You know, you don't have other pots, but you can cook for Krishna. You understand? So it's not magical. You know, some mystic thing that how did it happen? It just poof, you know, like this. No, it's you're here. You work with what's here. But you work in the consciousness, so you get the benefit of working. It's in the spiritual world. Because we have to remember, the reflection is whose? Yeah, it means it's Krishna and his internal potency. That's what's reflected. But we think that reflection is us. That's the problem. Right? You know, Krishna is there dancing with all the girls, right? And so we look at it, and whose face do we see there? Ours, not Krishna's. If we saw Krishna's, there wouldn't be a problem. You understand? So that's what's going on. So living entity doesn't have it. So it, once we become convinced that this is what's going on, then it's easy to... I mean, it's not easy. Then it becomes focused to practice giving up attachment to the material energy. Because what we're attached to is not the material energy. Right? You look in the mirror and you think, that looks great. I want that. I want to interact with that. What are you actually attached to? The mirror? You love silica, right? It's such a great thing, you know? Melted glasses. I mean, melted sand has always been your, you know, perfection of what you want, right? No, you want what it's reflecting. So what we want is the spiritual, right? How long does anybody want to live? Forever. Okay. Does anybody want to be unhappy, or would they rather be happy?
Happy.
And for how long?
Eternally.
Eternally. Okay. So what is that, the material world or the spiritual world?
Spiritual.
So that's the point. What we want is the spiritual world, but we think we're going to get it by, you know, so we want the real fruits and flowers. So, but we're going up to the reflection, and we're trying to get the fruits and flowers there. You know? And somehow or another, there's ways that by being absorbed, we think, hey, I got it, but can you get anything from it? That's the point. It appears. But so what is it actually that you're getting from it? There's an experience there. What is that experience coming from?
You're getting the qualities from Krishna.
Yes. In other words, when you look at the reflection, you're actually looking indirectly at the original. So the original moves, it does all that. It's because that's where it's happening. So that experience is coming because you're actually in contact indirectly with the Lord and His internal potency. But because of illusion, you think it's the mirror itself that's doing that, and you are the mirror. You understand? So that's where the problem comes. So it's only because of the contact with Krishna that an experience is gained. Right? But the problem is we think that mirror is real. And we are the mirror. But we have nothing to do with the mirror. Right? Does that make sense? So, all this is trying to describe all this from different angles. So this is different ways to convince us. Now, before, did Krishna saying, okay, all potencies are coming from me. Okay, but that's establishing him as what?
The origin,
the supreme. Right? So we're dealing here with tattva, right? The position of everything, the knowledge of everything's position. So now here again, he's saying he's the origin of all living entities. So you are establishing the position of the Lord. But what's the difference between this description and the previous ones? Because he says this one's superior. He says here again. So it's the same thing. But he's saying something that is more. Prabhupada says here there's more. Yes. About the personal relationship, right? In other words, here's the higher level. Before, you're learning the mechanics of the material world. But now the higher level is these mechanics are based on your relationship with the Supreme Lord. Right? Because we're into mechanics here. Okay, I go to do my job, I get my money, I go down to the shop, I get the thing that I want. Now that I have that, now my life is perfect, I will enjoy. Right? Does that make sense? But notice in the equation, there's never the element of I am enjoying. You know what I'm saying? Because even if you say I am enjoying, what are you referring to? I'm telling you I am enjoying. Am I enjoying while I'm telling you? No, I'm telling you what I was enjoying. So it's already past. So it's already ignorance. You know, or we get together and say, hey, this is going to be great.
Future.
That's future. So, present is only experienced if you don't notice it. As soon as you notice it, it moves into the past or into the future. Because an experience is not observed. An experience is experiential.
Do we move constantly to past and future because of a sense of control?
Do we always move this future and past as a sense of control? There would be, that would be under... There's a ladder out there just going like into nowhere. A very tall ladder. Nobody here would know anything about it. Okay. Is that the ladder to heaven? what Ravana didn't know, right? He went to all that trouble, right? He just needed a bamboo ladder. Okay. Yeah, and then there's only one language, right? Bengali. You don't have all that Babel business, right? You know, so. Question. Now, they're making the tower to heaven, right? And then, because they're not supposed to be doing that, that's no way to get there, then they all start speaking different languages so they can't understand each other. So, but according to the Old Testament, they would have been speaking Hebrew to begin with, right? Because that's the Lord's language. So that means, does that mean that the people who continued speaking Hebrew weren't there building that tower?
So no, maybe there was only partial, the Lord just gave them part of that language and everybody else got their own language and then they just had that language. Like only a small group remained with this language and all others got their own language.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. So just so okay. So just what was left was the... At the same time, maybe those were all the workers, right? All the hired, Palestinians and stuff like that. So they ended up with a different language. Okay. Okay. So does that make sense? So conditioning means you think this is the way it is. Just like you have an elephant when it's small, right? When it's small, you have a good rope. It can't break the rope. But because it's been tied with that rope its whole life, even though it's huge, it could easily break the rope. It's conditioned and think, I can't break this rope. So just putting the rope, then that's it. You don't have to do anything else. You understand? That's conditioning. Does that make sense? Okay. And so, yeah, so one is induced to act because that's the mechanics of the place. You're going to do something. You have any identity, that's going to be in ignorance. Any action will be in passion, right? Any result will be in goodness, you know, produced by that mode. Does that make sense? Doesn't mean that the situation that it produces is in goodness, but it's goodness that produces it. Right? Verses 6 to 9 describe how the modes bind the conditioned soul. The mode of goodness is purer than the others. It is illuminating. It frees one from all sinful reactions and it gives a sense of knowledge and happiness. Here, knowledge refers to understanding the real nature of a material object. And happiness means tranquility of the senses and body. Right? So, does that make sense? So, here, the practical knowledge means, you know, that you seeing the item actually for what it is. Right? So that means you see yourself, see the situation, all these things like that. And that happiness, that means the satisfaction or the peace that one's doing things properly. Not that it's, the happiness is gained from removing the material dissatisfaction. That makes sense? You know, you're hungry, so that's a material problem. By eating, you remove the hunger, right? Because as long as you're removing hunger, then you say that you're eating and you say that there's a good experience, right? As you become full, you're not removing hunger anymore, so there's no taste, right? Does that make sense? But because we want that taste, then we continue trying to eat, trying to gain something from it. But we're not removing any problem, therefore there's no taste. Right? So satisfaction means that you're not involved in that process. Satisfaction means whatever your situation, you know, like that, you're comfortable with that. That's good. So this satisfaction is this, you're comfortable in the situation because you're connecting it to Krishna. Right? So here it's different because there is no material knowledge and no material satisfaction, right? You know, what's in a mirror? Right? There actually isn't anything there. It's only a reflection of reality. So there isn't actually any movement. Right? Does the glass itself actually move? Does it smell? Does it taste? Does it have an experience? No. It's just there. It's just able to reflect what's real. Does that make sense? Yeah. But one always has to understand that one therefore doesn't now swing to the other side and nothing here is real. What's not real is that we think it's not connected to the Lord. So it exists. Right? Just like the reflection exists. Right? Because it's a reflection doesn't mean it doesn't exist. What doesn't exist is we think the reflection is reality. But the reflection's actually there. You know what I'm saying?
So in this case, illusion wouldn't be dealing with the material energy, but would be thinking it is not connected to it.
Yes. Yeah, interacting with the material energy isn't illusion. That's just situated in an inferior place. That's all.
So the mirror actually is our consciousness, right?
Yes. Because otherwise, then we would be dealing with Krishna's inferior potency. But we think the dead matter, this inferior potency, is what's giving you the experience and all that. It's actually coming from the Lord and his internal potency. But it's reflected onto this, so therefore. But at the same time, as the Lord is non-different from all the elements, so if you see the Lord there, he's actually present. But if you don't, just this potency is taken care of. You know what I'm saying? You know, Prahlad Maharaj sees Nrisimhadevi in the pillar, so he personally is there. Otherwise, just his potencies are there doing the pillar job.
So it depends on the consciousness.
It depends on consciousness, yes. But the point is your consciousness doesn't create material energy. You know, if your conscience is there, therefore you created the forest. No, the forest is there. But you thinking that what it is about the forest you like, its beauty or its freshness or its openness, that's not caused by the dead matter. That's caused by the Lord and his internal potency. You know what I'm saying? In other words, there is a hand in the mirror, but its movement's not actually caused by the mirror. It's caused by the person, the original person. Illusion is thinking the mirror is generating that movement. Right? That makes sense.
So like the Buddhist, they think that the material is created by consciousness.
The material concept is created by consciousness, but the material energy or the external energy is not. You know what I'm saying? But because you have that desire, therefore the material energy takes that form. It transforms, but it's actually there. But what's not there is that you think that that matter is what's generating your experience. You know what I'm saying? The body's dead matter. The, you know, other elements of the world are dead matter. They're seemingly interacting. So you think that interaction is generating your experience. It's not generating your experience. The experiences come because of the connection with the original. Right? It means the tree's in the water and the branches are swaying and like that. Why is it doing that? Right? Because the original branch, there's a breeze blowing and it's moving. So it's the reflection's actually there and the reflection's actually moving. But to think that its movement and colors and all that is coming from itself, the reflection is generating that, that's illusion. No, the original tree is generating that. Does that make sense?
Maharaj, is that where you also mentioned that the jivas are controlling the material manifestation through their desires?
Yeah, they're controlling means, it's not that they're, means they're trying to, they are minute controllers. It has to be sanctioned by the Lord, carried out by the material energy. That's why the material energy is considered one of the causes. Right? Because the material energy itself, through the Lord's sanction and potencies, transforms, not through the jiva's potency. See, this is where the mistake is if we're saying, yes, it's clear to the jiva, it's manifest, yes, but he's not the one whose potency manifests it because of his consciousness.
So his desires.
His desires, just like this. The child wants lunch. Right? And then there's lunch on the table. So did the child produce the lunch? No, who produced the lunch?
Mother.
The mother produced it. Right? Or did the bowls themselves just produce it? Maybe the table. It produced the bowls. You know, but then where'd the table come from? Okay, yeah, so like this. You understand? So that's the thing. Is so that lunch is there because the child's there, right? Because if the child wasn't there, there wouldn't be lunch because the mother would be at the spa, right, eating a salad, right? You know, so that's what would be happening. You understand? So it's because the child is there. Therefore it's happening. So in that way you can say the child is the cause. That's why on all those four causes, each one is a cause. But they're all ultimately depending upon the supreme cause. Like that. Yes.
I'm just trying to understand this reflection business. So when I'm manipulating or my desires of manipulating this chatter, is there an original chatter in the spiritual world?
There is, but it's how you say, the point is the Lord, it means there's the generic principle, right? And then there's the more specific. But the more specific is connected to who?
To me.
Okay, you and?
The material world.
Krishna. And?
Krishna.
But which form of Krishna?
Brahma.
Paramatma.
Oh, okay.
Paramatma is localized. That means it's happening there.
Okay.
You know, the reflection's not beyond the Brahma Jyoti.
Okay.
Because that's the other point is we think, okay, material world, this is all material world, then there's over the spiritual world. But the point is tatastha means the two are at the same place at the same time.
Yeah.
You understand? So it's happening right there. But the point is it's the internal, the Lord is, so what is it that you're, okay, the chatter, what is the quality that we're taking of the chatter?
Heat.
Yeah. Okay. So what is, where does the quality of heat come from? Krishna, okay. And then what activities that therefore serve or attain the quality of heat, where is that coming from? We're talking causation here. You have three options because we've already taken. The quality is Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, heat's Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So then, if we're talking about the reflection, where is the concept of that, you know, wool or a chadar, and how you wear the chadar comes from, you know, it generates heat.
Mahatattva.
That means that will be the place where the Lord and
Lakshmi
are interacting. Does that make sense? Right?
A little bit.
Okay. Why here? You're feeling cold. Put this on.
Nothing.
Why not?
Well, I don't feel like rocky.
I mean, people like, let's say, you know, they're out in the cold and all that. You know, it means that you have a house and it's built out of stones. It would be comfortable to go inside. Why would you go inside? Would it be cold or warm?
It would be warmer.
Okay, so then therefore this stone is connected with warmth. So therefore wear this.
But not in that form.
Not in this form. So you're saying the form of rock being connected to heat is only there if it's done in the form of a wall or a room.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so who defines that? Okay, but in what form? What expansion? Okay, it's Paramatma. That's he's controlling it. But we're saying here, okay, Krishna is existing in four, how you say? Manifestations. Himself as the Supreme Lord, as the as the Supreme Brahman, Bhagavan. His internal potency, right? The external potency, and the jivas. Okay, so who is serving Krishna as heat by taking on the form of rocks that can be made into walls or wool that can be made into shutters. Right? The internal potency. And then how can I put these rocks together? I just kind of pile them up in a heap and there it is. I go to the contractor and he says, okay, you're going to need 20 trucks of rocks. So I buy 20 trucks of rocks, they dump them off in my backyard and in a big pile and there it is. Right?
Not entirely.
Okay. So what's missing?
Cement.
So I throw in a few bags of cement. Okay. Throw some water. Hey, sand. What?
Structure.
Structure. But who defines that that's how the rocks have to be put together, that you'll get heat?
An engineer.
An engineer. But who's defined the laws of engineering that the engineer is looking in his book and using? Krishna, but as internal potency. You understand? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's defined by the internal potency. Krishna is the quality, the internal potency defines those forms and those actions and those situations that therefore attain that quality. You understand? And that's what you see in the spiritual world. Right? In the spiritual world, when it gets cold, what do?
Put on a chadar.
Yeah, put on a chadar or go inside a house. So that's all defined by the internal potency. Right? That's her service to Krishna. Okay? So that's what's going on. So that's already been defined. So all the ways that you could wear the chadar and this and that, that's already been defined. So what are you doing?
I'm imitating
that, yes. Now, can you take the chadar, fold it up, put it in your back pocket, and then it's going to keep you warm?
No.
Okay. Why not?
Because that's not how it works in the...
Yes, so that's not how the original cause and formal cause work. Right? Because the reflection, the closer the reflection is to the original, then the closer it gets to that point. Right? So that's what people, by observing the material nature, they somehow or another see that if you do something in this way, you get this result. But if you don't do it in that way, you don't. So they'll call that science, because they use their intelligence. But what's missed is that where did that science come from? That's what they can't define. Right? So they'll say, no, but we worked this out. That's why it works. No. But that's like the Buddhists. Because I thought it, therefore it is. Right? So it's not that. No, it was already there. You're intelligent enough. Okay, you worked it out. Great. But it still works because of God's laws. It doesn't work because of someone else's laws. Right? It's not Newton that makes the apples. Every time an apple falls on your head, then you can curse Newton, right? Right? It's his law. You know, why apples? You know, well, think of it. You know, what happened is it was elephants, right? If elephants fell off a tree and things like that, then you'd be a problem, right? So better apples. Be satisfied with apples. Right? That makes sense. You know, if he had been sitting at the bottom of, you know, Everest and a big monster rock had fallen off and squished him, then the law would have been proven, but, you know, it wouldn't have gotten his name and no one would have known about it. Right? Does that make sense? So then they would have said, what happened to Newton? And then the Sherpa would have said, oh, he got squished by the rock. Like that. And then it would have been, you know, Sherpa's law. Right? Like that. So then... So are we catching this point? In other words, it's a way of seeing. It's not just some facts, okay, trying to put that together. It's very simple, but you apply it into that situation. So here we're combining the four causes with the reflection, right? And those four causes are connected to the four manifestations of the Lord, right? Does that make sense? So the external potency is always going to be in the position of external potency. But it's Brahman, so it's connected to the Lord. Now, you use it separately, you're illusioned, you're in the material existence. You don't, you use it connected to the Lord. That means, if you connect to the Lord, how do you connect it? Can you directly connect it?
Yeah.
There's you and there's the original cause. What's in between? Material energy is the material cause, but it's the formal cause. It's the internal potency, right? The internal potency is what is obtaining the quality. So if you serve the internal potency, you obtain the quality. So in illusion, you think, no, I have performed the activity as my own, you know, determination. And because of me, therefore, the quality is manifest. Right? But it's not. It's you perform the activity that's in line with the internal potency. Therefore, you get that quality that you're desiring. Right? You're working in the reflection, but still, you're getting that quality you want. Does this make sense? Right? This is the point. That's why it's also pointed out material cause, because you actually don't even make the material energy transform. But we think we're the doer. We had the desire, the Lord sanctions, the modes of nature carry it out, and so the material energy transforms. So in either case, we're still servant. Whether we're in knowledge and dealing with the internal potency, or an illusion and dealing with the external potency. But in either case, we're still servant. You know, so that's the point. If we have this knowledge, we see things as they are. Right?
So the hunter would be the medium to think.
Yes, the false ego then makes you think that all this is there. Yes.
So does this mean that the jivas are connected to the external potency on the premise of the internal potency, and in that way they can communicate with Bhagavan? Is that nonsense, or does that make sense?
No, it means that communicate. Well, what do you mean by communicate?
Well, connect to Krishna.
Connect, yes. Because, in other words, we understand, means the point is we understand the reflection.
Yeah.
But if we understand the reflection is coming from the original, what are we seeing?
We're seeing the original.
Yeah, but if we don't understand it comes from the original, what are we seeing?
Illusion.
Right? Does that make sense? If you're looking in the mirror and you think the mirror is producing that face, then you're dealing with illusion. But if you understand the mirror is simply reflecting your face, then that's a knowledge. You understand?
Yeah.
But the dealing will be the same. It's just a matter: are you the mirror, or are you the person, and that's being reflected in the mirror?
The illusion will be also connected to its temporariness, right?
Yeah, because how long is the reflection in the mirror?
Yes,
longest. Yeah, it's temporary. But how long is the person there? Right. Yeah. So that's the point. So the original nature is eternal. So Krishna and the internal potency, that's eternal. The jivas are eternal. But when you're looking into the material existence, the material existence is eternal, but the particular manifestation is temporary. Does that make sense? Huh? Yes?
What makes us experience difficulty even though we're in the instrumental position?
What makes us experience difficulty? Because it means if you're doing, let's say you know that you're doing something for someone else, right? And you want to do this for someone else. So if various problems come up, it's not so much of a disturbance, right? It's understood that there's going to be some endeavor, right? But if those obstacles come up and you're doing something for yourself, that's more of a problem. Right? Does that make sense? So, when we see it in connection with only ourselves, they're problems. When they're seen in connection with others, it's not a problem. It's just like this. Okay, let's say you went and bought something for somebody. Okay? Now you had to, you know, make the arrangements, do all kinds of things, get through traffic for hours, stand in lines, you know, get in there, and there was the last one there and fight with whoever it was there, and you finally got it and everything. And, you know, so now when you give that to the person, you know, do you not want to talk about all those things? Or would you be happy to tell them all those things? Yeah, because why? It's part of the process. So you don't mind it. But now let's say you were getting that for yourself. Do you want to talk about that with others? You understand? You understand? Because not really, because that was an annoyance. So that's the thing, is that there's going to be an obstacle. That's just normal. Otherwise, what's the meaning of getting something done? Getting something done means there's a difference between where you're situated and what you want. So right there, that there's a difference, that's already an obstacle. You know what I'm saying? So that principle of bridging the gap is an obstacle. But the point is why would you bridge that gap? Right? Because of relationship. So if there's no relationship, it's a problem. If there's a relationship, it's not a problem. Right? And then some say, if you don't have relationships, there's no need to bridge the gap. So therefore, all your problems go away. Because bridging the gap is the problem. You understand? So that's the pessimistic view. You understand? Is that okay? So that's the whole point, is that now we're opening this, is that Krishna's bringing in that actual personal relationship element. It's been defined before. But now he's dealing with it directly. So that means all the difficulties then aren't connected with the process anymore. You know what I'm saying? Obstacles are there, but now they won't be as difficult because it's being based on the principle of the relationship with the Lord, the devotees. Does that make sense? So in other words, all we're trying to define, what we call all this big lofty philosophy, all we're trying to do is convince ourselves that actual relationships exist. And they're there. And you can actually become happy by real relationships. Right? Rather than being the, you know, supreme, absolute, dictatorial lord and master of the mirage. Yeah. Machiavelli wrote a book on it.
So,
also Sun Tzu, yes. He also wrote a book on it.
So can we say that the movement of internal energy is like something like a Tao, you know?
Yes. But at the same time as there's the origin of it, then there's the actual manifestation of it. Right? Qi in its movement, there's principles on which it already exists. Then there's the manifestation of its actual movement. So one is the internal potency, so the other is the external.
So the qi is the external and the Tao is the internal.
You could say like that, but at the same time as the principle on which qi works, right, is based on the internal. Means you take the chi, like here, you take the chi out where? Here. You don't take it out here. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You can expand here, but it moves through here. Who defined that? Did chi define that?
No, it's a ling defined.
Yes. But the same time as, see, is the Li is defining it, but the point is if you're going to take there, if you want to make the Qi as external, then the Li has two parts, the masculine and feminine part. Right? So they just combine them as one. Because if there's two, that means then after attaining liberation, then there's nothing. But if there's two, then that would mean after liberation, there's still relationship. Right? And since there's basically a pessimistic view about relationships and all that, therefore you're trying to get rid of them. You know what I'm saying? So the Li is two. know what I'm saying? Just like the movement of qi still works on yin and yang, right? But the li also is working on yin and yang. Otherwise, why does qi work on yin and yang? Right? Your hand moves in the mirror. Why? Because your actual hand moves. So because there's the male-female principle in the li, therefore in the qi, there'll also be. You understand? So what's happening is they're using the qi, which is the external. But actually what makes it work is because they've somehow or another connecting to the li, but they actually don't know how. There's no science for teaching it. Right? Right? The door of no door. Right? The door is through which qi can move. Of no door. Right? Because that's the li. So when you understand that, then you can use it. Because just knowing qi is there is not the big deal. And being able to move it this way and that way, that's not the big deal. It only works, someone becomes a master when they actually understand li, but they actually don't know that they're understanding that. You understand?
So both qi and li, they move according to Dao, you know, that internal energy?
Means, the point is, depending on how you're defining it, is Dao separate? You have qi and li, and then there's Dao, so you have three elements?
No, Dao should be... Dao is manifestation of the li and qi combined together.
Okay, so that would mean, then if you're taking the manifestation, then so is there potency in li, I mean in Dao? Your arm moves because of what? Okay, your arm is what? Is that Dao?
No, it's qi.
That's qi.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's Dao?
Dao is the way the arm moves.
Okay, but who defined the Dao? Do we define it?
No, that's
the qi is defining it.
Yeah.
And the qi is defining it based on the li.
Yeah.
Okay? So that means the Dao and the qi, they go together, the two aspects of one thing. In other words, the situation and the potency itself and how that potency has to move or act to obtain li. Does that make sense? Then that is reflected into this external energy that therefore you have the gross body is doing different things. You know what I'm saying? So when they say they're moving the qi, then technically they're moving the reflection of the qi. Right? It's just the subtler manifestation of the external potency. You know what I'm saying? They're not moving the qi, they're coming in line with the qi. Because as soon as you think you're doing, does Dao work? No, the path is gone. You have to be able to move with it. So you have to serve it. So that's what we're saying. But the point is it becomes difficult unless you have the personal explanation. We can explain it, they can't. That's why they'll put you into situations. Right? Does that make sense? I mean, just like the person is performing his skill, okay? And he's quite expert at it. But is he doing it, you know, on a day-to-day basis whenever he does it? Is he standing under a waterfall? Yes or no?
No.
No. But to learn that connection, he may have stood under a waterfall. Right? Right? So in other words, they create situations in which you might make that connection. They don't know how to make it for you. They can only tell you it's there. Right? You understand? That's why in all these things, no one ever gives you an answer. They show the path. You know? And you have to figure it out. So they make it seem like a very glorious thing. And one level it is. Yes, you're teaching that. But what they leave out is that the reason the person can only show you the path and can't give you an answer is because he doesn't know. That's the real reason. But they know it exists, but they don't know how. They don't know how they got there. So that's why they have all these situations they put themselves in, just to create that So you make the connection. Does that make sense? So we see this principle in a, how you say, non-Taoist light. It's the same principle. It's just that we're defining the personal element of it, and they're defining the impersonal. Right? Because they, you know, are still worried that the personal wouldn't give the same results. Right? Personal has always been a problem. Right? But they know the material works simply because of this, you know, qi li. But at the same time, as they're trying to obtain something higher that get rid of the disturbances in the material sphere, then they figure that everything will become nothing. But the point is if it's a reflection, that means then there's an original. If activity here seemingly makes you happy and it doesn't, that's because you're dealing with the reflection. So if you learn how to deal with the original, then you'll actually be happy. Right? You know, you try to eat the apple in the mirror, it's a problem. But if you eat a real apple, right? So they say, I try to eat the apple, it's a problem. So all the trouble to eat the apple, the anxiety because I think the apple, so I just get rid of that by saying it doesn't exist. So it may solve that initial problem, but does it solve the problem that you're hungry and that's why you're eating the apple? Because that's the point. Why are people acting? This is what the Mayavadis and they can't explain. Why would you be wanting family and position and money and sense gratification? Why would you want that?
Relationship,
because it's the nature of the soul. So that they can't define. Because they're saying, oh, it's all one. And so, therefore, by illusion, you've come into and taken individual consciousness. But why would you do that? If you're already perfect and satisfied as Brahman, why would you want to become an individual that's an illusion and suffering? And if you say pastime, you got to be stupid. Because, you know, who would do that? You know, it's just like, you know, you're walking along, it's a great day, sun's out, breeze is blowing, right, the butterflies are flitting, the birds are chirping, and all this and that, and then, you know, you somehow or another walk by, you know, an open sewage, and so, therefore, for pastime, you jump in. Right? And then, you know, there's the whole thing of getting out, you know, because, you know, I am not this sewer. You know, the sewer doesn't exist, you know, like that. You know, all these different things, you know, so. So this is what they're doing. So why would they do it? So that they can't define is because of the nature of the soul, the nature of the relationship between the soul and God.
That's why Krishna is saying this chakra superior, the relationship
yes.
is there.
Because it is that he's defined it all before, so you know what's there. In other words, the first six chapters are defining the mechanics, the overall mechanics of what's actually going on. You can, or they can say the situational mechanics. You know, it means what are all the tools you're going to use, right? Then the middle six then points out that why would you use them except for that connection with the Lord and that devotion, right? So that's superior, right? And that devotion is the central principle. But now, why this is higher? Because it's been defined before that the knowledge in the middle six chapters is the king, and these other two are, you know, like, you know, how you say, sides of a sandwich, right? You know, so they're supporting that. But this is superior because this one then shows you how you're going to get that knowledge in the middle six chapters, right? By using, you know, very properly the knowledge in the first six. Because these are the techniques of actually how to apply it. You know what I'm saying? Just like, okay, you want to get some juice, right? And so you use the juicer, right? So I've explained that there's you, there's an orange, there's a juicer, there's a cup, you know, because otherwise we think we don't understand, you know, like that. So, you know, we're gnawing on the, you know, the orange and we have our hand in the juicer, right? There's going to be a problem, right? You know, so we learn what's actually the situation, the relationship, and what are the processes, right? So that's clear. And now, okay, we know that we do all these things, but now what's the actual goal? Right? The juice is in the glass, right? Does that make sense? So now these last six chapters are teaching that finer science of how you would actually deal with the juicer to get that juice in the glass. You know, so here dealing with the modes of nature. You know, or, you understand? So like that. So then we see actually how it works, right? Because there's always some little trick. You know? Yes.
Does that mean
In one sense, you could say yes, like that. I mean, okay. See, depending upon how you're perceiving it, then you know, what's the particular perspective you're taking? Then you would do it, because you could also take it. Yeah, you could take it that your devotion is the goal, like that. But also, that's the mood in which you perform the activity, so that would also be sambandha, you know, the mentality, the spirit, like that. You know, it's the purpose. Same time as these elements, then you're defining the field, so that's sambandha, but you're defining it so that you can use it more properly, which is abhideya. So it just depends upon which is... That's why one has to know the general concept, but then more important than knowing the general concept is how that general concept can be applied in the real life situation. So that's what this is starting to do. Right? Because to know how to apply, just like we were discussing that, we've been discussing now for, you know, many months about the four causes and, you know, reflection and all these different things. And we understood it, but now we're trying to make it so you can actually see it rather than just understand it. Right? So, therefore, it appears as if, you know, you don't even know what it is. You understand? Because before the question is just, you know, he says, okay, here's a pillar. Okay, you know, what's holding the pillar up? You know, like this, we can go through the steps. But now is that, so we're talking about, okay, what is the mechanics, what's the elements that are there, right? The knowledge of the theory. But now we're trying to see, can you see that? That's then this next point. Right, so this is, because if you can actually use it, then you can properly obtain it. Right? Because it doesn't, you understand how the modes are working, it doesn't matter whether you're using karma, gyan, or gyan. The point is that you'll be able to use them. And then you'll understand that that's serving bhakti. Right? So these are details of that. Yes?
Well, in the Bible there is this famous statement that if you have enough faith, you will say that this mountain that jumped to the sea and it will
go. Okay, if you had enough faith, but the point is faith in what? Remember, we're talking Bible here.
Yeah.
Faith in Jethro Tull, maybe. Faith in what?
Yeah, you mentioned this example that the big elephant is conditioned by the rope thing that I'm conditioned. So.
No, that's there, but the point is faith in what? You're avoiding the question.
God.
Okay, the God. Okay. So now if you have faith in the God, okay, then... The point is if you had faith in God, then yes, it could be moved. Okay. If you want to keep within your particular sphere. How did the Red Sea part? That's a big thing, right? How did it part? By? Okay. But just, then why would God apply his power there?
Faith, Moses' faith.
Because faith. Right? But what was the point? It's not just what you want to do. It's what God wants to do. So if you have faith, then you can be involved as an instrument in amazing things. Not that you sit around and move the mountains around. You know, you look out your window and, you know, it's a... You know, that skyscraper's kind of in the way, you know. It's blocking the morning sun, so I think it should be over there. You know, it's like that. You know, it's not like that. You know what I'm saying? The point is you have faith, you can be involved as an instrument. You know what I'm saying? The point is you think, I'm doing it, that's a problem. You understand? That's the point. Moses throws down his staff, it turns into a snake. Does he say, I did that?
No.
No. He's saying this is God's potency. So his point is, you know, the God against your gods. You understand? So the point is one's an instrument. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
Human lecture, but not much. He says that a bumblebee, like the classic bumblebee, that their wings are so small compared to their bodies that they actually shouldn't be able to fly. But technically,
yeah,
according to the laws of physics.
Uh-huh.
But because they no one told them that, no one can tell them that, they don't believe it. So.
All right.
Okay. So he was saying, you know, for us, of course, it's not so much including the aspect of seeing yourself as an instrument, but even if we're free from that, the conditioning, if we have some faith and we don't have the blocks,
yeah,
then we can do things that we normally couldn't.
Yes, yeah, then you can do amazing things.
Maharaj Prabhupada would be an example of this faith in what Krishna wants to.
Yeah, so therefore, you know, he went to America with nothing and started an international movement. Okay. Yes?
So maybe the key word is also faith and not so much belief. I mean, it's not so much that you believe.
Well, you have to have two. I mean, it means the faith is based on knowledge, because if faith's not based on knowledge, then it can be disturbed, mm-hmm, right? Because what's the problem? In the modern elements, that faith can be disturbed by what?
Doubt.
Doubt, yeah, which is intellectual. So that means if you have a strong intellectual basis, therefore your faith will be firm, right? Because the point is in these things, in the modern scenario, does the devil come up and use logic?
No.
No. It's sentiment.
Yeah.
So that means your sentiment, you know, which is supposed to be good sentiment, against his sentiment, which is supposed to be bad sentiment. You know what I'm saying? So that's the point. But if you have knowledge that your sentiment is right, then it's not just a feeling. Because you're defining it that way, but the devil says it's the other way. So hey, you know, who's right here? And then if you say, no, well, this is right because this is what God says, and then you're basing it on knowledge. And then if you know why God said it, then that makes it even more, because, you know, then you won't have a doubt that, well, why am I doing this?
And then you would like to be an instrument.
Yeah, and then you can be an instrument in it, because that's one's position. So the point is God's performing nice pastimes, so you can be a part of that. So the element of that, yes, Brahman is performing pastimes, that's correct. You know, but not all these other stupid things. You know, he's doing wonderful things, so you can be part of that.